The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
1, 2, 3,
my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I don't brush her.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Great stuff with Kevin McHale. Two things you can always be guaranteed of with the coach. You're going to get quality, truthful inside information. And two, he is never going to be cheated on words per minute. He can go for a while. You just had
he's full of knowledge.
You dangle the carrot, he's going to take it and run.
Well, he's got a lot of information.
God,
he's got to get it all out.
You don't get that anywhere else. You get the Hall of Famer right here on ESPN 97.5. Nestor Carmona said, hypothetically speaking, if the Rockets added DeAndre Jordan, would they be a threat to Golden State? No.
No, I think it's going to take more than that.
And you might want to add some offense.
Well, I mean, defensively, that's the thing, right? I think the Rockets could hang with them. I think the Rockets proved they can hang with anyone shooting.
But you got to give up to get, because he's not a free agent. So,
contractually,
you're going to have to probably lose some of that shooting to bring him in.
Yeah, I thought he meant if he's just adding him straight away. But yeah, you're right. You would have to trade for him. So did you see this story? And Nicholas, I'm asking you as well. This is pretty baller, but it's kind of a head-scratcher. So there was this thing that came out where the CIA contractors stole $3,000 worth of snacks from a vending machine because they hacked the vending machine at the CIA building. Now, of all places that I'm going to be stealing stuff from a machine where there's money that's going to be made off of it, it's not in the CIA building.
No.
But what this dude did is he got this – he's a computer tech guy. Obviously, a nerd would come up with this. But he basically – found a way to unplug the vending machine from the network. And then he created a dummy credit card, like with the magnetic strip that just had some dummy information. So you just feed it through the card reader. And since it couldn't dial out to the network or whatever, it would assume that it was approved. And I guess upload it later and then give you the snacks. And there were tons of people in on this. It wasn't just one guy. There were several people.
That's a pretty high-tech vending machine.
And you know how long you've got to be stealing snacks to hit $3,000?
Yeah.
It said the snack stealing began in the fall of 2012 and continued through March 2013, leading to thefts totaling an estimated $3,314.40. But they estimated 3,000. That's a very specific number to be estimating.
Yeah.
$3,314.40.
Did they also realize that their workout program declined and their weight went up?
Yeah, right. But it said several contractors were in on it, and surveillance cameras at several key vending locations where a high occurrence of thefts were taking place were added, and that's when they busted them. Now, the weird thing is they went and they busted all these dudes, and nobody pressed charges. They lost their jobs.
They lost their jobs.
Of course, but nobody pressed charges. But why are you – I'm sorry – we've all stolen stuff at work before, right? I mean, we've all taken home some paper or pens or paper clips or whatever.
Did you notice how quiet Nick got?
Yeah. He's acting like he ain't stealing Wi-Fi and stuff.
Don't go to his apartment and look at the desk chair and the freaking...
I bet his Zune is loaded with songs he's stolen from here.
No, I got the Spotify account now, so
now,
I'm not stealing anything.
You got busted, didn't you?
Yeah, but that bookcase and that desk chair, at your apartment looks kind of familiar to
coming up here on a Sunday and just hauling out stuff. But of all places to be stealing at work, the CIA isn't one of them.
You think they may be able to figure some stuff out, investigate if they have to?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, I'm pretty confident when I worked at Halliburton that if I would have stole a bag of chips from the snack machine, no one would have found out.
Right.
Not at the CIA. I just feel like, do you watch House of Cards? Have you watched this show?
I don't. You know
Nick,
that.
Have you watched House
I
of Cards?
Not.
You guys are missing out on a badass show, by the way. But at one point, they're doing the White House. There's a leak. They pretty much just put the whole White House on surveillance. All the phones, laptops, everything. I feel like they would do that at the CIA just by default. Like, you don't even have to realize there's $3,000 worth of snacks missing. You're always under surveillance at the CIA. Why are you stealing? That's just dumb.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wish this Coke machine was easier to steal from, because I would certainly steal more Diet Cokes, but it's not.
It used to spit out dollars.
It's also stealing my money, so that's the other bad part of it.
I got one for you, too.
It takes a nickel every time I get a Coke. It's unfair.
Here's one that's crazy for me, but it may be with these damn millennials. This may be something that tells you that there's still hope. An ex-all-pro athlete doing the due diligence of disciplining his son before the football program or anybody else could, but it gives you some hope. I'm gonna come back with this, but I think it may, and it coming from the guy that's doing it, it may surprise you even more. But I think all in all, it's good parenting.
Okay,
so we'll come back with that and a whole lot more. We'll be right back. Usual Suspect, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, Barry, till 4 on The Usual Suspects. I saw this the other day. I thought it was interesting, and I thought I'd share it with you guys. But coming from who it's coming from, it really was shocking to me. Keyshawn Johnson, as we all know, was outspoken and just throw me the damn ball and wasn't exactly the ultimate teammate at times. His son, one of the most highly sought-after receivers coming out of high school, signed with Nebraska. Well, Keyshawn Johnson Jr., cited for marijuana possession after university police found pot and drug paraphernalia in his dorm. Keyshawn Sr. didn't wait for anybody from the football program or the university or anybody else to take any action. He did it all himself. He took his son out of school and announced that he will be taking an extended leave of absence from football to mature as a human being. Keyshawn Sr. said, "I never asked him," referencing his son. At the end of the day, I don't think the decision was in his hands. He squandered that decision. He still wants to play football, and he still wants to play for Nebraska. But if you don't do the things that you're supposed to do under the guidelines of me, it's not going to happen. One thing you're not going to do is my son, you're not going to embarrass Nebraska, you're not going to embarrass head coach Mike Riley, and you certainly won't embarrass the family name. I give him credit.
Yeah, that's good parenting. That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's called being a dad, holding your kid accountable. It doesn't matter who we are, how much money we have, what my name is, what kind of name you're going to build for yourself. At the end of the day, I'm still your dad, and you still messed up. I like it. I dig it.
I do, too.
That's how you do it.
Because too many times in today's day and age, people are just expecting others to step in and do the dirty work because they don't want to be the bad guy, the bad parent, you know, looked at it bad. Sometimes parenting is tough.
Yeah.
I give him a whole hell of a lot of credit, because for all he got in terms of a bad rap when he was a player, man, he's getting some good love right now, and he deserves it, because that's solid.
Good for him.
No doubt.
So we got a text early in the show about 1:45 that I didn't have a chance to get to. I flagged it for later, but we just have, you know, I mean, we've had a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But it was, it says, "Barry, update on the 999 challenge tonight. I crushed 2 Uberitos last night in 3 hours to stretch out my stomach. Only liquids today until the challenge. I feel like I'm in good form. My brother's making the mistake by going golfing and drinking this afternoon." Yeah, that's a bad move. My wife and I were going to do it this weekend, but she's got to work. And so we're going to do it. We're going to try to do it next Friday. I think there's
You're really going to do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have amassed a good amount of beer at the house.
Are you a hot dog fan?
Yeah, I like hot dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, of course I do. I'm an American. So, hey, right? Hot dogs, baseball, apple pie.
Okay.
Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be, plus I like food
Nick,
challenges.
Nick, you want in? Just kidding, Nick.
Nah.
Plus I like food challenges, so I'm like, this is,
I know
this
you
is
like
right
food.
Up my
You and AJ
element.
Love food Allen. Challenges.
So, yeah, so I think the wife and I are going to try it next Friday, I think. She's probably going to back out on me. It won't surprise me if she does. But right now, the plan is next Friday, 999 challenge goes down at our house after work.
And thankfully, like you've said before, do the challenge at home. Don't try and do it at a game.
Yeah, don't be dumb. But not only is that, you got to, you know, you're publicly intoxicated, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
For both of those reasons, don't do it. I saw this article and I didn't put it on a rundown sheet, but it's not going to surprise you guys. There's nothing crazy that you need to be aware of, but I just found this to be pretty interesting and entertaining. And it was on a link that we had from TotalProSports.com. All right. But it talks about Mark Burley admits to downing a few beers before his 05 World Series save. Now, to refresh your memory, this was the 14-inning game. He wasn't scheduled to pitch, but he did, and he ended up getting the save. It was game two, I believe. Oh, no, he pitched game two. That's what it was. He pitched game two. But it says things got real during game three as it headed to the 14th inning and Burley had his name called unexpectedly as the last available reliever in the bullpen. And he wrote in the Players Tribune, in short, yeah, sure, okay, fine. So I had a few. I can admit to that. But you got to let me explain, the retired pitcher wrote. He continued, and it was just like one or two beers. Every time I grabbed one, I'd go over and check in with the coaches. Hey, you guys are sure you're not going to need me, right? No, Mark, you're not pitching today. You just went. So I'd hear that and grab a beer. It was only like three beers max. Now we went from one or two to three. Definitely no more than three, though, I swear. But dude goes in on three. Now
I was at that game.
I'm a weak nut, right? Like if I drink three beers, I can start to feel it for sure. Like I know I've drank three beers. It's not like it doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form.
Good and fuzzy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like blah, blah, and throwing up and pulling down my pants for no reason and stuff like that. But I know there's alcohol in my system after three beers.
Right.
So I know this dude went out there. He had to have gone out there at least, you know what I mean? Like, whew, boy.
Oh. Just hit the glove in the middle.
This is, I am not 100% focused. Yeah.
I see three of them. I'm just aiming for the one in the middle.
I'm going to pick one of these gloves and throw this ball at it.
That game, remember that was here? That was the one that looked like you thought it would never end. And it was cold in Houston at night.
14 innings.
Yeah.
Burley got the save on three beers. Now, it's no, you know, no hitter on LSD type things.
No, but it makes you remember like when the Red Sox were getting out of control in the last years of Terry Francona, when Beckett and those guys were talking about all the beer they were consuming in and around games, and when pitchers weren't scheduled to pitch. And
yeah,
man.
But it kind of lets you know, I mean, it's real. I mean, these are just dudes, right? These are just guys that their job is playing baseball, but they like beer, and then on an off day, they'll consume some beer. I mean, that would be like us going to do something from 1 to 4, right? We do our show, and then it's like, all right, I'm going to drink. And then you don't need me anymore today, right?
And then a show breaks down or has technical difficulties.
And then all of a sudden, we're getting hammered. And all of a sudden, they're like, guys, the Blitz are on the road and we can't get them. You guys need to do the show. And we're like, uh-oh. Like that.
They're like, holy shnikes, what do we do?
Yeah, I mean, that would be bad. But, you know, I'm sure they'd have to get a sober producer to at least be ready for the dump button.
That wasn't going to happen because he'd be drinking more than us.
It's probably true.
Nick would be the first guy drunk. Are you kidding me? Every time I go somewhere with Nick, he's beer in hand.
There's a dog in the room right now.
He loves him some beer.
It's a great dog.
There's a dog? What kind of dog is it? Let me see. Did you just call Kirsten a dog? Oh, there is an actual dog. I thought you were talking to Kirsten. Is this one of your pups, Joel?
The pup that you brought?
Yeah, that's Luke Duke.
Who? Luke Duke? Luke Duke. You had Bo and Luke Duke?
We had Bo and Luke Duke.
It's a cute dog. Let me put on my glasses. Let me see this.
Yeah, he's awesome. Bring your dog to work day. So Kirsten was on Twitter saying no one brought a dog to work. So I decided to make sure Kirsten was happy, and we brought the puppy to work.
Is it really bring your dog to work day?
Nationally, yes.
I thought that was earlier in the week.
Kirsten can verify.
Are you going to follow promote the Twitter. Fact that this dog needs a home?
I'm working on
it. We should
home.
Take a picture and tweet it out.
Yeah, we can show everybody Luke. Yeah, I'm working on a couple, but yeah.
Are we sure Luke's the dude? Did you check, Nick? Feel around there.
Oh, he's got his hand there now. He's feel verified. Around.
Oh, Nick, yeah. You don't have to pull on it
Nick,
like
don't
that.
Tell
what
him
are
to
you
turn
doing?
And cough.
Nick, what? Get your mouth Nick, off of it, I'm Nick. Not... What are you doing?
Oh, we got to go to break. This is getting disgusting. We'll be back with more of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Is David Carr's brother worth $125 million? Well, whether he is or not, Derek is under contract with an extension from the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, over
so
time.
That's so weird. I'm going to struggle. I will tell you guys now. I'm going to mess that up so many times for the next several years.
Craig
Not that we're
going to
be
worried.
Here for the next several years, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, Craig and I were worried about how many times when the New Jersey Nets moved to Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the Charlotte Bobcats became the Charlotte Hornets.
What about when the Wizards, when the Bullets became the Wizards?
Yeah, those are all like, you're okay when you have time to prep, but when you're in the mid-discussion and someone brings up a team and you're like, yeah, you can slip in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
But the Las Vegas Raiders, it doesn't really roll off the tongue. Like, to think that the NHL team in the Las Vegas Golden Knights sounds like a minor league team, but they're in the NHL now.
Yeah.
And their
Vegas,
uniforms.
Baby. I would worry about all that. Just, it's such a transient city with people coming in and out all the time. It's not a destination city. You know what I mean? I would worry about selling out, but I guess the fact that so many people are visiting there, and that's part of what you could do in Vegas is go to a game. But I don't want to go see a Raiders game when I'm in Vegas.
Oh, you
I
might.
Wouldn't want to do that. I'd much rather be... I'm going to Vegas for several things, and going to watch a football game isn't it.
What you think about it? Is that's going to be the most uniquely, probably inviting football game you've ever been to. Because it's not going to be like locals. Like, the black hole is going to have a whole different feel. Because you're going to get people from all over the country... A lot of hot people. And they're going to be like, hey, while we're here, might as well catch a football game. The scenery and the fun and games department, whether they're watching the game or not, I would think would be upped quite a bit.
Sure. No doubt.
That's not a bad thing.
No. Not a bad thing.
I mean, I think people, geographically, obviously, you're still going to have some of the Oakland Raiders that I believe will travel well. People from L.A., I think, will...
What?
Kind of want to. I think people will travel.
You think people in Oakland are going to be going to
the first season?
Vegas?
The first
I know
season?
the drive from L.A. to Vegas is what, about 3 hours?
It's a couple hours.
But they're, I mean, this is Oakland.
I mean, if people are willing to fly across the country.
Who's flying across the country to see a Raiders game?
I mean, I'm talking about different teams
guys
like Steelers.
Shoulder pads.
Steelers fans travel well. Patriots fans travel well.
Well, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing fans that have relocated to that hometown. So, like, when you go to a game here, let's say you go to an Astros game and you see the Red Sox or the Yankees showing out well, a lot of that is probably people that have moved down here from those
transplants
cities.
Transplants that live here.
People aren't traveling necessarily to go see a Raiders game.
So you don't think Raiders fans will travel? Like, old Oakland Raiders fans will travel?
I mean, my opinion is that they're probably going to be bitter. Why would they want to go support the Raiders in another town?
That's going to happen.
How many Houstonians do you think flew to Nashville to watch
But there are
the
still
Titans
some
play?
Titans fans, though, right? Like,
but
you
they
mentioned.
Don't fly to Nashville to go watch them. They'll watch them on TV.
Well, but they might Houston's fly to not... one game a year. They're
Maybe,
not,
yeah,
they're not
while they're in Vegas.
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah, but while they're in Vegas. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't... I know Vegas has a decent population.
Well, to Nick's
too,
point,
but
I think that you might get the California crowd to go, but they're only going to go for one game. They're not going for the entire home schedule.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
See, when you go to Las Vegas, you get when you see like cars, like the license plates, you see three types. you see Nevada, you see Cali, and you see Arizona. And I just think a lot of people are going to be willing to drive and catch a game. Now, as far as the Raiders, I mean, I just, the only reason why I made that assumption is because the Raiders fans have just known to be a just hardcore fans that go to games and stuff like that. I figured they'd want to travel well.
I think they're hurt, though. I mean, it's no longer their team.
Yeah, they're butt hurt because they're leaving.
Yeah.
For the second time now. Remember that, too. Because they left Oakland to go to L.A., then they came back to Oakland, now they're going to Vegas. They've been through this party and song and dance before.
So Carr gets $125 million.
Dog was about to eat Kirsten's phone, like really? Attacking Kirsten's phone.
Nothing wrong with that.
So that was hilarious.
So he gets $125 million, which they say could make him the highest paid player in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, do you do that if you're the Raiders?
I think you have to. I think based on the fact that there haven't exactly been stellar quarterbacks even taken at the top of the draft in the last couple of years. Again, kind of like we're talking about, not as bad as with the NBA draft, but when you're talking about guys that aren't coming out as polished as they once were, and you look at the fact that Drew Brees is already averaging $24.25 million, Kirk Cousins $23.9, and look at what Kirk Cousins is, and wouldn't you take Carr over him? Brees has earned it over time. He's not going to earn it for much longer. But even if Kirk Cousins is already at 23.9, you know, the market's only going to go up. So if you can lock him down at 25 for the next 5 years, it doesn't seem like it now, but it's probably going to be a bargain by the end of the contract.
Yeah, and they're saying it's the largest, but it's kind of like the, it's kind of like anything. You have to look a layer deep, right? Like that's what he would make if he plays out the entire contract, and I guess with incentives and everything else, he's only guaranteed $40 million. And I was reading something that said five quarterbacks, including Rodgers, Luck, Flacco, Ryan, and Newton, received more guaranteed cash than Carr did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, on the surface, it's one thing. But at the end of the day, I'm with you. These kind of quarterbacks don't come along very often. Look how many teams would love to have Derek Carr as their starting quarterback and would gladly pay him $40 million guaranteed to be their starting quarterback. I mean, if you look at what he did with this team in the 3 years he's been there, they went from 3-13, 7-9, and 12-3 was his record as a QB on this team. And, you know, yeah, he got hurt.
People
and you
forget that was a damn good football team till he got hurt, and then the Texans were the ones that knocked him out.
I mean, they're two years removed from flipping their record. 3-13 in 2014, 2016, they go 12-3. They basically flipped that record on its head.
Dude.
That's and yeah, he's got help. I mean, he's got a hell of an offensive line. He's got a running game now. He's got receivers, you know, Cooper and everybody. But at the end of the day, you know, you put somebody like Brock Osweiler on the Raiders, they're not going 12-3.
He threw, and he was hurt at the end of the year, as you mentioned, but he threw for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, and just 6 interceptions. He ain't David.
No. He's, you know, yeah, he's not David, that's for sure.
And if you're the Texans in retrospect, wouldn't you like to have that draft back?
I still don't think they do it, though.
I think as an organization, they just didn't have the grapes to do
they
it.
They were too, yeah, and you know, at the time, I didn't like it, and I said as much that I still felt like it was, but I understood. You know what I mean? Like, I know they couldn't have done it, and I guess I can't hold it against them because I know why they didn't do it, because they would have been crucified by the fans, sure, or people would have lost their mind. But once he started winning, everyone forgets that, which was what my point was. If you think he's a good quarterback, if you think he's going to be a top-tier quarterback in this league one day, you don't pass on him because his last name is Carr.
Correct.
If you don't think he is, or there's questions, then I understand you passing. But if the sole reason you passed was his last name, you made a stupid decision.
And I think any question, this magnified more than most, you could say, well, there's a couple of little questions. Then if they multiplied in other cases, you'd say, all right, maybe we should pass. But because of all of the backstory that he came into, if there was even one question that he wasn't going to succeed, you'd be quicker to pull the trigger and say, we're avoiding this, or not pull the trigger and avoid this completely. But overall, too, I think a lot of people learn their lesson. You learn that, I think that overall, Derek loves the game of football. I don't think David ever loved the game of football. He just loved the fact he could make a lot of money. And once he took that first season and that beating that he took, I talked to a lot of guys from the meeting room to the practice field to being around him. He became a guy that was like not invested in football, didn't love football, hated getting beat up in football, but loved the fact that he made like $52 million here before they cut the cord. So he was soaking up a whole lot of money, but he either never was in love with football or fell out of love with football. Plus, his dad was at practice every day driving everybody crazy, and maybe hopefully he learned his lesson too and stayed the hell away from Derek, because Derek looks like a totally different player on and off the field and from a maturity standpoint and love of the game standpoint than David.
Yeah. Yeah, he does look like he's handling things differently. But, you know, I mean, you learn, too. I'm sure the family as a whole, like you said, learn from their mistakes and learn from, you know, what happened with his dad and everybody else. So
I'd have to pull that audio, but seriously, and this is right down your alley for one you could just exploit the hell out of, too. But, you know, later in David's career, when he's with Carolina, he wore two gloves. And everybody was like, why are you wearing the gloves? You know, is it because it's warm and because your hands sweat? And he goes, have you seen where I have to put my hands? If I got to put my hands down there on every play, I better have gloves on. And people were like, what?
Really?
That's so...
It's so David Carr, though.
Understandable.
Jeez. Yeah,
I would do that, too. All texting, no tweeting said, Barry, when is bring your cat to work day? Never. Never, ever, we'll ever.
Just poop all over the place.
And just
throwing
up. That's
what
I'm
worried about with Luke, but I think he's okay. But we did put the picture up, and I retweeted it.
Luke got a little nervous when there was like 18 people in the control room.
Did, yeah.
But... he's cool now.
He's a good-looking dog. I tweeted the picture of Luke out, if you care.
I'll retweet it for you, too. When we were talking about Burley and the beer, somebody said, this segment sounds appropriate for the Drink of Ages impression. Sorry I missed that, or I would have done it. You're correct. But your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, what's wrong with always having beer in your hand? Yeah. Yeah. Good for you for being able to work and drink, but the rest of us can't.
And it's called building up a tolerance, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're a professional drinker.
That's right. All right, we got one segment to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So let's make it good as we finish another strong week right here. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, Joel, Luke, Kirsten, the whole group in here.
He's going to eat that microphone screen. You know that,
right?
He's
going to eat my headphone cord, if not.
Oh, that would be great. That wouldn't hurt my feelings. Good dog. You do that.
Checking everything.
Good boy. I hope he poops in your lap.
No, this one's been potty trained since
a guy can have dreams, can he?
Yeah.
A guy can dream. Did you see this thing, this Ask Lonzo? I mentioned it, I think, at the beginning of the show, but I didn't get around to reading them. The Lakers did some sort of Ask Lonzo hashtag after they drafted Lonzo Ball last night, and it didn't go well. And so I was going to...
Wasn't he like responding on video chat or something?
He had one weird response where he was like clapping his hands and doing all this weird stuff and just looked forced and I don't know, just weird, I guess is the best way. So here was some of the highlights from the Ask Lonzo hashtag. So it says the Lakers sent out a tweet to say, what do you want to know from the newest Laker? Ask your questions with hashtag Ask Lonzo. Very first one out of the shoot. Can you bring D'Lo back? That's right out of the shoot. Can I get a discount on the Zotus? Why'd my dad leave me? Can you make your dad be less annoying, a lot less? How are you going to infuse the big baller mentality into the Lakers? Do you have ice in your veins? When will you be traded? How's it going to feel having the worst shooting average next season? This is all like... right out of the gate. These are the very first questions. And then I think there's a couple that got skipped. But are you going to become a man and play hard for the purple and gold? Or are you going to allow your daddy to run the show? Man up or you'll be gone. Like, this is all like, you know, this is why I wouldn't open things up to listeners to you know, like, we're not doing an Ask Barry. Because if there was a hashtag Ask Barry, I know this is how it would go. This is why
you'd have responses.
Well, yeah, I probably would answer each one. Do you think the magic can teach you to enjoy, or do you think magic can teach you to enjoy interviews and smile a little? How are you going to keep your dad's mouth shut? That was the first part. Second part was, what are you going to do to not be like him? So, hashtag Ask Lonzo didn't go that well.
Mm. I keep telling you, man, he looks, some of his facial expressions, he looks like Ben Stiller with a little more hair. He just gets that kind of glazed over face And I'm like, oh, man, you should be enjoying this a whole heck of a lot more than you are, thanks to your old man.
I was going to say, can't you? I mean, you see what he's got to put up with. You see what he's dealing with his dad. I mean, he's taking all the fun out of it.
Plus, this is his moment. Yeah, this is his moment.
For him.
This is his chance to shine before it gets to be a grind. You know, because when the season starts, and we've already said whether he gets picked on or not, the NBA is a whole new ball game, and when you're getting paid to play, the intent intensifies by like 100%.
Yep.
And so this is your time to have some fun and, you know, get some attention. And man, every time he turns around, dad's one step in front of him.
Painful you're breaking the rule.
Watch, man. It is painful to watch, and I feel for the kid. And I hope he does succeed simply because he needs to get out from under that shadow. And that shadow is like just crushing.
So remember a while back someone asked us, do we ever get texts from people where they're the wrong number? Like they were trying to text their, you know, mom or their girlfriend, wife, daughter, husband, whatever. Well, we just got one of those.
And what did he say?
Nothing exciting. That's the problem. But whoever this is that just texted the show and said, okay, they're training somebody new on the route. I told him about your pickup this morning and he wrote it down. So it should be there. You didn't send that to the right place. So
that's the beer
you're,
guy again.
You're blocked now, sir. Whoever that is. I'm blocking
you.
You
should have sent back. No, I changed. You know what?
I can't text back. That's the only problem. Dude, if I could text back, could you imagine how busy I would be?
How fun would that be?
You would just be way more angry.
Yeah, that's probably
because you'd be 90-10, 95-5. Yeah. Yeah. 80-20 when he walks in the door, but after the text
after
message,
the
95-5.
Responses to the text,
I'd be like, oh,
five.
Hell no. You can just kill my mic. I'm done. I'm not answering.
Joel, you got this. Joel and Nick, you got this.
Yeah, you guys take the show. I'm about to.
Guys, I'll be back in a segment or so. Oh, God.
Dude, you'd be livid. That's a good thing they don't like to respond.
Twitter's enough.
Because you know you would.
I would. I probably would. And I wouldn't even like talk about half of the stuff that's transpiring over there because it wouldn't be worth it.
Plus, Nick
but
would
I surely
be like,
would be firing
Nick
back.
Would be like, and mics are hot. Oh, Barry's going to be in the hallway for a while. Okay, we'll be right back.
Man, I'd be tempted to respond to Beaumont texts.
Yeah, you would. I don't know why you're such a hater on Beaumont.
Not a hater.
Yeah, you are. Don't
Nick,
lie.
You ever been there?
Yeah. I've been to Beaumont, yeah.
How many times?
Oh, probably like two or three times in my entire life.
Intentional or because you had to be?
Had to be parents and yeah, and one of them was intentional.
Okay,
yeah.
No one accidentally goes to Beaumont, right?
I was like, you don't like go there to venture off and have some fun, do you?
Yeah, I mean that's like saying
because you want to see
like,
a Buc-ee's.
That's like saying you're going to Pearland or something like that. No one just goes to Pearland just to go.
Oh yeah,
no one Pearland just goes to Beaumont paradise. For vacation.
Pearland.
Who gets a day
paradise.
Off and is like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. You want to head out to San Antonio? Maybe no,
people actually
have
take
lunch in the River Rock? Hell no, let's go to Beaumont.
No, they actually take longer trips to like where you live, like way
Shut
out
up.
There. Like to the Woodlands, like the Woodlands.
Woodlands?
People would take long trips. Like they'll spend a weekend at the Woodlands.
Yeah, they would. It's a staycation. And they've got between the resorts, the golf, the mall, there's a lot in the Woodlands.
You can see the wildlife by Barry's house.
That's the farm.
The farm?
Yeah.
You guys.
You said lions the other day.
Am I going to have Hyenas. To send pictures of my neighborhood and my house to you so you understand where I live
I don't
and
know
how?
I want to do that because then you're targeted.
No, I'm not doing it on the tweet or anything like that. I would just text it to him and you guys. Yeah. I don't know. Hell no, I'm not tweeting out where I live. Are you crazy? All these weird. I'd have Kurt Lowe at my door. What now, bitch? What now? Like, that would be exactly what would go down. Say something. I brought Jesus and my Bible, and we're kicking your ass. Like, that would be what Kurt Lowe would say when he showed up. I'm not doing that.
Beret. No. What's up, Beret?
Yeah, he would get my name wrong, too.
What's up, Beret?
Joel?
Lamanac? Lamanac. Yeah. I'm here now. What you gonna do?
Yeah, that would be it. I'm gonna let you do his impression, though. I've already upset the man enough. Did you see this longest sniper shot ever? Did y'all see this link I posted?
I did not see that one.
Dude, this is crazy. So there's like this, I guess the record for the longest. I don't know who's keeping records of the longest kill, but it's a thing. This is the title. Hero Sniper Takes Out ISIS Fanatic in Iraq with Incredible 2-Mile Shot. The longest confirmed kill ever recorded.
2 miles?
2 miles. It was a member of the Canadian Joint Task Force killed Task Force 2 killed the insurgent with a McMillan TAC-50 sniper rifle. 11,300 feet was the shot and killed the dude.
Wow.
I probably couldn't hit Nick from here. This dude is
with an
over-the-shoulder,
no-look hook shot or with a gun?
Both. Okay. This dude is taking out ISIS 2 miles away. That's insane. Good for you, sir. Congratulations.
That man is a hero.
He is.
All right, that does it. Well, that show kind of flew today. That was fun. So we've wrapped up another successful week, and we'll be back again Monday through Friday of next week. If you'd like to join us, please do. For Barry, for Nick, for Joel, have a great weekend. Fred, AJ, and the Blitz next right here on ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.